Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Annie Fry Show YouTube live chat poll of the day is sponsored by Ruler Foods. Low prices, no coupons. Ruler Foods.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a Mary, the sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a Mary, the sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
I think what's going to happen is we're going to end up doing so well. We're way ahead in the polls of against Biden. Biden has destroyed our country. Look, Biden is the worst president in the history of our country, worse than Jimmy Carter by a long shot. Jimmy Carter's happy because he's had a brilliant presidency compared to Biden. He's destroyed our country between the borders and everything else. He has destroyed our country. Not only that, wars are breaking out all over the world. We'll end up with this foolish person. This person that doesn't act. We're going to end up in a World War III. So we have to get rid of Biden.
Man, I gotta ask. I've heard Chicago is MAGA country, but it kind of starting to sound like Harlem might actually be MAGA country. Donald Trump kind of locked up in the city of New York City. I hate when I say that. But he's there. He's on trial. He is basically at the whim of this judge who doesn't seem to be a big fan of his, certainly. But Trump's not supposed to talk about that. What's he going to do while he's got to spend his time in court there? He's going to go visit the bodegas in Harlem. Smart move. I wonder if it will have any political effect that might be reflected in November. Let's get to our guest. Jory Murdoch joins us once again, nationally syndicated columnist and Fox News contributor. Jory, welcome back. It's good to have you here.
Annie, it's great to talk to you.
What did you think when you saw these crowds of people surrounding Donald Trump in Harlem, cheering for him, telling him they love him 4 more years? I mean, there's a magnetism to Donald Trump. It's certainly, in my opinion, that it's unmatched by any politician. But certainly, if you compare it to the other guy in the race, Joe Biden, there's nothing, no comparison.
Yeah, absolutely. And this was quite something. I mean, this was not in, this was not in rural Pennsylvania or somewhere in Arizona where he might be more popular, what have you. This is in Harlem, which is one of the most hardcore Democrat place in the United States of America. And after his so-called hush money trial ended yesterday, he went up to Harlem at 139th and Broadway, went to the bodega where that gentleman by the name of, I think his last name was Alba, was confronted by a thug who was trying to rob him, and he stabbed and killed him. And Alvin Bragg, our soft on crime DA, wanted to lock him up. There was a huge public outcry, and he was set free, and he flew off to Dominican Republic. And so Trump was invited by the Bodega Association to go visit that bodega. He did. And then he had this crowd of people, hundreds of people there, cheering him on, saying, "We love Trump, four more years." They broke into the Star Spangled Banner, and they cheered and wanted pictures with him and this sort of thing. And he wasn't attacked or booed or hissed. He just got a tremendously positive ovation. And this for a man who the left would love to tell you is a racist, hates blacks, hates Hispanics, and all this other nonsense. And these predominantly black and Hispanic people up in Harlem were just cheering him on and thrilled to see him. So it was really quite astonishing, and goes completely against the narrative the left-wing media have been trying to paint here for pretty much since 2015.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. DeRoy Murdoch with us right now. We have the Chick-fil-A visit in Atlanta. We have the Harlem visit yesterday in he is surrounded by people that are really enamored with his presence, who want to talk to him. I mean, like, they want to touch him. They want to hug him. They want to thank him. And in many cases, they are also very critical of Joe Biden, which is an important part of the equation here. It's not just about being like, oh, Donald Trump's larger than life. They have criticisms of the man who's currently in charge and has the job. How valuable to the campaign is it for Donald Trump to be, you know, feet to feet, face to face with these voters in traditionally non-GOP stronghold locations?
Well, I think it's positive in a couple ways. One is by being around these folks who live in New York. I don't know if New York State is going to be in play, but the way things go in the state is if you are Republican and you can do quite well in Long Island, very well upstate, and then just not, you know, get beaten up, but not, you know, completely put into a coma in Manhattan, in New York City, and lose New York City, you know, maybe, let's say 65-35, as opposed to 70-30 or 60-40, you could, or 80-20, I should say, you can actually win New York State. So if he can get himself to a situation where people in New York either vote for him in significant numbers, or just stay home and say, look, I'm not going to vote for Trump, but I can't vote for Biden, I'm going to skip the election, and you have people upstate and on Long Island turn out in big numbers, you actually can win in New York State. And even if it doesn't become a win, if Democrats have to spend time, Joe Biden has spent time and money in New York State, that's time and money that he's not spending in Wisconsin or Michigan or Georgia or Arizona, for example. Number one. Number two, if you're Donald J. Trump and you're trapped basically in New York City because of this legal case, you know, the visit up in Harlem, we're talking about it now. People in Illinois and Missouri are hearing about it. It was on television, on Fox News. It's on online. It's popping up on, you know, all sorts of news feeds all over the country. And they're minority voters seeing this, saying, wow, I guess maybe he's not really such a racist. And you're also getting suburban women who are, you know, such a swing group, if you will, seeing this guy very comfortable and being received and applauded by minority voters. And they're probably thinking, wow, I heard from Rachel Maddow and The View that he's a big racist, but he doesn't look like a racist. He's not being treated like a racist. You know, maybe Whoopi Goldberg and Joy Behar and Rachel Maddow are lying to me. If they're lying to me about this, are they lying about other things? And suddenly you see a lot of eyes open across the country who are nowhere near Harlem, but are getting this news all the way from, you know, from Maine all the way down to San Diego and even off into Hawaii and Alaska.
Yeah. You know, I think about that facade that has been created that surrounds Donald Trump and very consistently hammered in to American voters about who Donald Trump is. It's really been manufactured around him. How many things that have been alleged about Donald Trump? By the time we got to the point where we proved that the story wasn't true, nobody was covering that. They were on to the next hoax surrounding Donald Trump. If Donald Trump in these, which you can do this with social media now, and a lot of people get their news on TikTok, which is, I guess, unfortunate, but to be able to turn the visuals of these grassroots experiences that Donald Trump is having, even in the city of in New York, it's like this, if they crack that facade, it seems like the whole house of cards for the Democrats would come crashing down.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, he can do this without having to get on a plane. I mean, as long as he's trapped here in New York, you know, I assume the court case will wrap up every day at about, you know, 5:30, 6 o'clock. Get in his limousine and just drive off to different neighborhoods in New York, you know, go to Spanish Harlem, go to Brooklyn, go to Queens, go to Staten Island, go to the Bronx, you know, greet people in front of Yankees games, what have you. And people will, the beauty is you don't even have to bring news cameras. People will break out their own cell phones, record this stuff, post these things on you know, X and TikTok and Instagram, what have you. These things get picked up, they're viral. And then the news media, whether they're there or not, will pick up these videos and put them on air. And, you know, he basically, essentially will be able to get a message out across the country without having to leave New York City, if in fact he's trapped here. So if I were Trump, I'd wrap up every day after the trial and go visit a different neighborhood and, you know, spend time with black voters, Hispanic voters, with small business people, with sports fans, with athletes, joggers, bikers, whatever it is, and go to Central Park, you know, and I think you'll see all these positive images come out, and they, you know, if you will, humanize him, warm him up. The big nasty monster kind of looks like a fun, cool guy. And the whole facade, as you say, that the media built up of this mean, nasty, growling racist, you know, all that stuff will fall away.
You know, I think about the 2020 election vote totals, and people often forget that somehow or another, in the climate that Donald Trump was first a candidate, then the president of the United States, with everything that they threw at him, he still managed to get 8 million more votes or something like that. Like, he's the he is the highest vote getting incumbent in the history of our country. Do you think that 8 million extra votes, do you think that that's something that can be built upon? Was 2020 a different year all around in how vote totals are going to come in? I mean, I can't imagine that many people are going to be inspired to go vote for Joe Biden this time around. But I'm wondering if Donald Trump will be able to retain those votes that he grew his electorate to and maybe build on top of it.
Yeah, I mean, if he can keep those votes and build on them, and then the people who voted for Joe Biden and are now disappointed and disillusioned, either don't vote for him or vote for Cornel West or vote for RFK Jr. Or some of them, I guess, will transfer over and vote for Trump. Then, yeah, that could be the difference. And it's not just the 8 million you mentioned. I mean, really, it comes down to who gets how many votes in electoral in swing states that will reach 270 electoral college votes. That could be a swing of just 1 or 2 or 300,000. So it's not really 8 million across the country as much as it's, you know, 50,000 in Arizona, 10,000 in Georgia, 75,000 in Michigan, that sort of thing. And, you know, if Trump can just get, I'm making round numbers here, but, you know, 100,000-ish in 8 swing states and be able to push himself up by that much, and Biden stays where he was back in 2020, you know, you'll see the balloons and confetti coming down from the ceiling at Trump headquarters on November 5, 2024.
Droy, you know, if you add into the visuals that we see in Harlem, we saw it in Atlanta as well. These are the reason he's in these places is because he's on trial. It's hard to see news stories coming out of these cases. Most of the news stories just seem exponentially punitive towards Donald Trump. Of course, we know the gag order for that Manhattan judge that was applied to Donald Trump, while we know that the Cohens of the world on the other side are out blabbering all over the place with no fact checking taking place at all. Do you think that resonates with American voters right now, even more so than just the general cases that are being levied against him?
I think you're right about that. I just wrote a piece that's posted on American Spectator, headline, Trump's tongue is trapped in our two-track justice system. And it deals exactly with what you're talking about. This Judge Marchan in the so-called hush money case has slapped a gag order on Trump. He's not allowed to talk about other witnesses in the case. He's not allowed to discuss Judge Marchan's daughter, who works for a big Democrat campaign organization that's made about $18 million since the indictments were filed against Trump by DA Alvin Bragg here in Manhattan. The judge is completely conflicted. New York state law says you're not supposed to be a judge hearing a case if you have familial or blood ties to anybody who's related to the case at hand. And his daughter certainly is a blood relative, and she represents her campaign organization is doing work for Chuck Schumer, for the Senate Democrats, House Democrats, and by the way, for Joe Biden. So this judge really should recuse himself. He's not. Instead, he's slapping a gag order on Trump, saying Trump can't discuss this. Well, as you say, at the meantime, it's not a gag order across the board for everybody in the case. Michael Cohen can go on CNN and MSNBC and say whatever he wants, not under oath, so he can lie as much as he wishes, as he's been known to lie before. Stormy Daniels can go on TV and say whatever she wants. And Trump can't respond, and he's got a, you know, he's got a, sort of a piece of masking tape over his mouth in violation of the First Amendment and violation of general fairness. And as you say, I think a lot of voters will look at the unfairness of this, even people who may not necessarily support Trump, but think we have to have a fair justice system, and look at this and realize how totally unfair it is. And I explain in greater detail in the American Spectator piece we just posted how unfair this is. I go into great detail on Marchand's conflicts and then the different way that Democrats are treated when they verbally abuse or even physically threaten judges versus no threat on the part of Trump. And he's been told, sorry, keep your mouth shut. If you keep talking like this, we're going to throw you in jail. It's unbelievable. It's like something out of another country altogether.
Yeah. And if you're watching this as an American citizen, you just think to yourself, man, I hope I'm never in that position where that mm-hmm. type of action could be taken against me, because it does seem incredibly unfair. And we do need justice.
Absolutely.
Droy, thank you for being with us. We always love to speak with you.
All right, Annie, great to talk to you. Thanks very much.
Talk to you again soon. Droy Murdoch, nationally syndicated columnist, The American Spectator, with his latest piece. I encourage you to check it out. Fox News contributor as well. His weekly hits with us, I always appreciate his perspective. He's always there in New York City, and he sees a lot of these things up close and personal, so it's going to be extra helpful while we are watching this Manhattan trial unfold. We're going to take a quick break. Our next guest on The Annie Fry Show, Miss Riley Gaines. What a pleasure to have her on with us here on 97.1 FM Talk. In just a few minutes, she is host of Outkick's Gaines for Girls podcast. And I'm very excited to have a conversation with Riley Gaines when we come back. Don't go away.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
With the first pick in the 2024 WNBA draft, the Indiana Fever select Caitlin Clark, University of Iowa.
So, of course, Caitlin Clark gets drafted number one to the WNBA. I have said this on the show many times. I was a four-sport athlete through my senior year of high school. I didn't go and play on collegiately. I have four kids. My oldest is my son, of course. But then I have three daughters. My 11-year-old, I coach her in volleyball, coach her in basketball. She is constantly working to compete and to be better. And what Caitlin Clark has done to draw attention and a lot of discussion, of course, to women's sports, I would say is only rivaled by one other female athlete that we hear a lot from. And we are very excited to welcome Riley Gaines onto the Annie Fry Show today. She's the host of Outkick's Gaines for Girls podcast. And we are very excited to be speaking with you today, Riley. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you so much, Annie. I am thrilled to be on with you.
I have been watching your story, and I don't know what it's like for swimming. I've never been a swimmer. I admire swimmers for the fitness that you have to have and the competition level that you have to have. Your story is a very interesting one to me because I knew your story before I knew your name. when the Leah Thomas thing was happening, everybody knew Leah Thomas's name. Not everybody knew Riley Gaines' name yet, but everybody is still talking about Riley Gaines because you've brought this story into the forefront. And as a mom of three girls that I expect to be active in sports, I just want to tell you thank you for not backing down to the pressures that are out there right now trying to silence your voice.
Well, you're so sweet. It's girls like your daughters that, I mean, that's what we're fighting for. This isn't about me. It's not about, you know, me continuing to compete. I'm done swimming. No one wants to see me swim. I'd probably drown if I got in a pool now.
Probably not.
But it is. It's for girls like your daughter or girls like my younger sister, who's an elite level gymnast who will go on to college and do amazing things. That's exactly why we fight the fight we're fighting.
Yeah, I agree with that. And we have to have a specific goal. I think that one thing that you've been able to do for this fight is kind of define what the battlefield is, because, you know, we had a Supreme Court justice confirmation hearing where Marsha Blackburn, senator from Tennessee, said, you know, can you tell us what a woman is? And she was like, no, I'm not a doctor. Like, that is absurd. That is absolutely crazy to hear. But it's kind of a broad, you can set it aside on the broad, no pun intended, that's funny, political conversation that doesn't really hit home. Your story hits home. Where do you think that people can squarely focus their attention on making sure that girls like my daughter and like your sister, where do we need to be focusing our attention right now to speak truth to the idea out here that you're like a hateful person if you don't agree with letting men compete with women?
What a crazy statement. And to your point about our wonderful sitting Supreme Court justice who couldn't answer what a woman is because she claimed she wasn't a biologist. Guess what, Annie? I'm not a veterinarian, but I know what a dog is. It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my whole entire life. We are seeing this, what I would call this systemic overall erasure of women happening at every single level. Of course, at the tippy top, the federal level, right? The people leading this country, the people in the White House right now, they're actively rewriting Title IX, changing its definition entirely. Of course, Title IX is the federal civil rights law that prevents discrimination on the basis of sex. That ultimately, it's a very broad piece of legislation, but most notably known for giving women the opportunity to compete and mm-hmm. succeed in sports. Our administration is what I would call this, I mean, this is an abomination. So you can see it there. Of course, you can see the privacy aspect of things in areas, you know, like locker rooms or bathrooms where women are being entirely violated. They are non-consensually being exploited in areas of undressing. And I can certainly speak to this as someone who had to undress next to a 6'4" man who was fully intact, fully exposing himself, again, inches away from where we were simultaneously undressing. You can see this issue happening in sororities. You have men joining these sororities saying they're women. These girls are, you know, they're promised sisterhood. They're getting the brother they never wanted. Of course, in prisons, you can see this, even this attack on our language, right?
Yeah.
We talked about the Supreme Court justice, but even just yesterday, Governor Katie Hobbs of Arizona, which, of course, it's a woman. Women have proven time and time again to be our own worst enemy. But Governor Katie Hobbs vetoed a piece of legislation that would do nothing other than define and codify the word woman and other sex-based terms like male, female, even sex itself. It would define those terms in state statute. And Governor Katie Hobbs was actually the third female governor to veto this legislation.
Yeah, it's a head-scratcher. I wonder when you were getting in the pool next to Leah Thomas is beating you, although you actually competed with her. It's always funny to listen to you explain how non-successful he was when he competed with men versus how you almost outswam him. And what you tied him the one time where you were supposed to be on the podium. I think you talk about this on the Joe Rogan podcast? I watched that one and listen to you as you explained, like, you got one trophy and you guys have a tie. Like, how often do you tie in swimming? It seems like it's not something that would happen very frequently.
No, it's very rare. Of course, this is a sport that's measured down to the hundredth of a second. When you're racing for a minute and 40 seconds and not even 1/100th separated us. That's rare to say the least, which what I would call, divine intervention is what it was. And secondly, it's incredibly embarrassing for a 6'4" man. You can't even be, a 5'5" girl.
Yeah, it's when I was listening to you talk about that and you were explaining the presentation, the podium, that ceremony or whatever that takes place afterwards, it was clear that they chose him over you. It was clear that there was something more important than, you know, in sports, the thing that most people like about sports, the thing I like about sports is there are winners and losers. You know where you rank. You know where you stand. You know if you lose that you got to get better by, you know, a tenth of a second or 40 yards or whatever it might be. And they chose Leah Thomas over you. And I think that you had said in that Joe Rogan conversation something about you questioned whether you should have gotten in the pool to begin with.
Of course. This was, you know, I'll take you to my mindset this day. Look, I swam, I mean, my whole life. I started swimming when I was 4, graduated when I was 22. So, I mean, that means I dedicated 18 years of my life to my sport. So it's, you know, saying it's a lifelong journey is an understatement. But it was this debacle, you know, do I get in the water? Do I participate in the farce ultimately? And I had decided in that moment, I didn't think it was right for me to not compete. Like I said, the sacrifices, the time, the hours, the dedication that I put in, I wanted to compete. This was the last meet of my 18-year career. But looking back now, seeing, of course, the severity of this issue, seeing the trajectory of this issue as it continues to happen across the country, really across the world, at every level, every sport, every division, every state, I wish I would have made a more concerted effort to getting girls to not get in that pool. That's ultimately what needs to happen. At the time, I thought our leaders, right, the people in authority positions would stand up for us. But now I realize what a naive thought that was, to wait for people to do the right thing unprovoked. We'd be waiting for forever.
Yeah. Isn't it? We're speaking with Riley Gaines right now. Isn't it so frustrating, especially in a situation like that? You're young. There are people in charge, you know, the NCAA. You would think that there would be somebody who would step up and say, obviously, there's a right and a wrong here. And in the same conversation, you don't have to. That doesn't automatically imply that you hate the person that is not going to be qualified to swim in that particular race. But you have to assess what is fair. That's what NCAA sports is always doing, is rules and making sure that the competitions aren't tilted or slanted or favored in one way or the other. And you sit around and you wait for someone to do the right thing and no one shows up. And your thought was, or at least you should have worked on trying to get people to protest that swim along with you. Do you give that advice right now to parents across the country if their daughter is in a volleyball match, if their daughter is in a basketball game or a track meet, and they're put in a position to compete against a biological male? Are you suggesting those families should sit it out?
You know what I do, which, again, I know better than anyone, it's easier said than done. And it's not a position that anyone should have to be in, especially even talking with girls as young as elementary school, middle school. It's a position that no one should have to be in. But ultimately, sacrifices have to be made at some point. And if this is not the hill that you are willing to die on, then what in the world is? This to me is so fundamental. And again, so much broader than just the effects of not getting the trophy or whatever those implications are from a tangible, visual standpoint. This is about principles at this point. This is, you know, monumental to life as we know it, not to exaggerate the issue, not to make it seem larger than what it is. But the premise here is that we're denying objective truth, of course, biblical truth, but objective truth, biological reality, the most basic of truths at that. That is why this is so important to me. So yes, I do think it's necessary to see girls stand down, to see parents take a stand, parents who are willing to defend their daughters. We mentioned being failed by the NCAA. and of course our specific universities, but I believe even parents of these athletes who continue to be impacted, especially young girls, they're failing their daughters as well.
Yeah. Yeah. It is a really incredibly hard thing to do, to put as much work and effort into something to compete. And, you know, you were doing it at a very high level when you were collegiately swimming, but as a middle school mom right now, you know, you put in a lot of time and effort. Nobody knows about it except for your small circle of people. But when you do see situations in high schools where biological boys are participating, what we keep hearing from people is it's not happening that much. And it's like, I need to know, how many times does it need to happen before we care about it? And why would we sit silently while we are seeing it happen across the country and let it expand to a position where, you know, now it is affecting so many different people? Your message of not suffering the foolishness surrounding this issue, I think, is an important one. It's an incredibly hard one, but I think your words on it are very necessary for people to hear. I want to ask you one last question, Riley, before we let you go, and I want to remind people that you have a podcast with Outkick, Gains for Girls. Please, folks, go check it out and subscribe and listen to more of what Riley is doing, because you're a pioneer here in a weird way, making women be notified for being, or known for being, women. Do you have people who come up to you and quietly speak their support for you? That's always my question for someone like you that's doing something that is a little bit trailblazing and controversial. I'm wondering if you get a lot of quiet support.
Every single day. Every single day. Which, of course, I'm always honored to have support of people. I have people who come up and say, look, I'm a mom, you know, I have daughters. Thank you for doing what you're doing. I can't do anything because, you know, I work a corporate job, but but you keep going. Or I'll have athletes come up or message me privately. Some athletes who we all know, very renowned, famous, professional athletes, who say, yeah, you keep going. But, you know, I can't join you. I've got sponsorships. I've got endorsements or what have you. This is my livelihood, but you keep taking those arrows. And I just want to shake them. Again, I understand the position they're in. I understand the risk and the threats, because honestly, they're real. They really are. But this would be over so quickly if we could unite, lock arms and stand together. Take away the you know, red versus blue of it all. If we could just stand together, this would be over almost immediately. But people are terrified.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's never going to change if people aren't willing to take those risks. And the way to take those risks is to weigh what we're sacrificing by not speaking up. And Riley, you, like I said, you're leading the charge in this. And I'm sad that people had to so nationally learn your name through the deal that you've had to go through. But I am very grateful that you weren't willing to shut up or to go along with it, because the going along with it has gotten us so far down the slippery slope, and watching you try to fight back against it is very inspiring. Riley, thanks for being with us today. It's a real pleasure to speak with you.
Well, thank you. And be sure to tell your daughters I say hi.
Oh my gosh. They will just love that. They know who you are, and I will make sure that they've heard that. Riley, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again maybe sometime soon.
You got it. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. She is the host of Outkicks, Gains for Girls. And she's got a book as well, Swimming Against the Current. It's coming out next month. So check out that book, Swimming Against the Current, and support Riley. She needs our support. And I'm not saying that I wouldn't know in a financial way. She needs our support in a, we're with you and we're supporting you. We're actively participating in fighting to keep common sense common. And Riley Gaines has been doing that. She's fearless. It's really, fun's not the right word, because it's regretful that we have to be at this place, but it is inspiring to watch her just march straight into the storm of what is going on culturally right now, with a very honest place that she's coming from. Riley Gaines here on the Annie Fry Show. Quick break. When we come back, let's talk a little bit more about our YouTube live chat poll. Which level is the most important to win in the November elections? Is it local, state, congressional, or presidential? Go to the Annie Fry channel on YouTube and let us know what your vote is. It's right there in the live chat section of today's live broadcast. And leave a comment if you so choose. We'll be right back.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. The Mayorkas impeachment trial has begun in the Senate, and we're going to throw to Chad Pergram right here real quick to give us the latest of what's going on in the Senate.
They are not allowed to have debate among senators during an impeachment trial. If you look back at the Senate impeachment rules, which were agreed to back in the 1980s, that's not allowed. The only thing that they can do is debate the articles of impeachment in a closed session. We've seen that in recent Senate impeachment trials in the past couple of years, and that's what Ted Cruz was trying to do, to put the Senate into a closed session to debate this. Again, we're in a very unique parliamentary construct right now, this court of impeachment, and so the rules are a little bit different. And so what they were trying to do was get a vote on putting the Senate into that closed session to debate that. But as I always say, it's about the numbers, it's about the math. If all 51 senators who caucus with the Democrats prevail here, they can basically beat back any point of order or any motion that Ted Cruz or any of the other Republicans had offered. And you noticed, Senator Schumer, the majority leader, raising his voice just a little bit there, and part of the reason was, and that little bit of that was for show, frankly, because he wants to indicate, I gave you guys an opportunity to have an hour of debate on the floor. Again, you can agree to that via unanimous consent with all 100 senators agreeing to something, to actually have debate on the floor, giving you 7 points of order on one article of impeachment that Mayorkas violated the public's trust, 1 point of order and an hour of debate on the second article of impeachment that he broke the law, and then proceed. Republicans objected to that. That was the objection by Eric Schmidt, the Republican senator from Missouri, and that's why they kind of got into that stasis. There was a lot of confusion on the Senate floor when we last visited just a couple of minutes ago here because people didn't know what they were trying to do. They weren't sure which way to move because this isn't a typical Senate session. So after they finished calling the roll there, they got things back on track just a little bit to hear from some of the Republican senators offering their points of order. And that's why we have this procedural vote right now to vanquish what Ted Cruz was trying to do under Senate Impeachment Rule 24, which allows for you to have a private session and debate the articles of impeachment. So this is probably the first of several other round-robin votes we'll have this afternoon. But again, the end is a fait accompli. Mm-hmm. If the Democrats all stick together and they have all 51 senators who caucus with the Democrats, I say it that way because there's two independents in the Democratic caucus, Bernie Sanders of Vermont and Angus King of Maine, then they will be able to finish this trial. And again, there will not be a final up-down verdict. There will be a motion to dismiss. And the other thing that's important here, Chuck Schumer earlier tipped his hand a little bit here. He says, you know, we'll have to vote to end the court of impeachment. There's a final vote at the very end to go back to being the regular Senate. And that's something that everybody would have to agree to, too. But that's why it's so important that Chuck Schumer wants full attendance on the Senate floor. So everybody is there and he has the votes because, remember, it is a narrowly divided Senate. And if you have somebody who's down the hall, somebody who's out meeting with a constituent, that creates a problem. You're supposed to remain on the Senate floor and in your seat, maybe drinking your milk, as we alluded to earlier, as you hear the Senate impeachment proceedings. But again, these are just points of order that they're making, and we're probably going to have some of these other roll call votes where they go through the entire roll alphabetically and then end. And it'll probably go a little bit faster than some of the other roll call votes we have because they have all the senators present.
Okay.
And then we'll see what else the Republicans have up their sleeve.
Chad, does Ted Cruz come back or do we move to someone else?
He could. Again, it's kind of, you know, a unique situation. It could be him.
So I'm going to interrupt them here real quick because Senator Ted, Senator John Kennedy, boy, would that be news. Senator John Kennedy was just speaking, and I'd kind of be curious to hear what he was saying on the Senate floor as they are discussing whatever parliamentary thing that they need to do to move this Mayorkas impeachment trial along or to dismiss it. Let's listen in to Senator Kennedy.
Second, the clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Baldwin.
No.
Mr. Barrasso.
Mr. Bowman.
All right, so maybe we don't have that. All right, well, maybe we'll get to it later. Sorry about that. There's a lot of maneuvers. This is where, you know, everyone wants to know, like, is the Senate going to impeach Mayorkas? Likely no. That's likely not going to happen. Boy, would it be interesting if it did. And if I've heard a lot of Republican people suggest, you know, like, if it's just wasting time, if the Senate isn't going to actually get rid of Mayorkas, that this is a waste of taxpayer dollars. It isn't. Because right now we have the opportunity to see who is going to permit the ways of Mayorkas and the DHS secretary and his office to continue to manage the crisis. It'd be nice if they would identify it, which recently in a hearing, he did confess that there was a crisis at the southern border. It's important that voters know where their House representatives stand on the issue, and it's important that they know where their senators stand on the issue. I mean, I could use the state of Illinois as an example. We have two Democrat senators who are certainly going to vote with the Democrats on whatever it is that they decide to do or however they try to maneuver this out of the Senate without having a hearing on it. Do you think the people in Chicago right now who are watching migrants flood into the city of Chicago and take over their buildings and their taxpayer-funded resources, do you think that they want to see their senators support this type of behavior to continue in this country? Or do you think that they would? I think that there are some people who would like to see somebody put a stop to it. I think there are people who would like to see somebody take control of the situation because the president of the United States has refused to do it. We've heard him say it before. We know where Joe Biden is on this issue. We've heard how he has abdicated his responsibilities on this issue. He's been very clear.
With executive authority, is there more you could do?
I've done all I can do. Just give me the power. I've asked for the very day I got in office. Give me the border patrol. Give me the people. Give me the people, the judges. Give me the people who can stop this and make it work less.
He's saying there, he's asked, you know, what about your executive authority? Is there anything you can do? And he said, I have asked from the day that I got into office for them to give me the power. Well, no, sir, you haven't. We've heard you put Kamala Harris as the border czar. She went down to the triad countries and said, don't come. That big famous Biden policy of don't. And then they did. It's almost as if they came in larger numbers faster across the southern border after the Biden administration did the token, not even go to the border, but go to these other countries and say, don't come. They absolutely came. Do you remember back during the debates when Joe Biden opened the country up? He said, elect me. And he'd telling people to come. That's the opposite of don't. They listened to him that time before he was actually the president. The southern border is probably the most bipartisan issue facing American voters right now. And if the Democrats punt on this, they should own it in November. Quick break. Come back in just a few minutes. Don't go away.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.